starts the play. Fourth quarter. Lopez for three. Yes!
How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA starts Thursday, March 16. And I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around of beer money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios wearing my Sean Kemp jersey, giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. And of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today? Breaking down and wrapping up after every day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right, we're going to wrap up a huge game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Bucks and the Raptors. The Brook Lopez game, as it were. So that's going to be covered with all the usual dumbassery, if that's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, we've still got some wicked yeah-nahs from the draft lottery yesterday. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame-grilled take. We've also got a brand new great moments in NBA Straya stat history, as well as a look at Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals tomorrow between the Blazers and Warriors before we close out with a brand new diary of Steven Adams. That's right, the Kiwi Colossus lets us in on what he's been up to during his offseason. All right, man, this is going to be a good one. It's episode 287 of NBA Straya. Let's go!
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better! Or you better watch out for the attack of the Brook Lopez. Old Lurch over there had himself a game today, didn't he? Anyway, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right, we've got a bit of lottery fallout remaining from yesterday. We had a whole bunch of teams go, hey man, this was sweet that we flattened out the odds, and then all the other teams that got jumped were like, I don't know if I really like these new odds. I believe the fallout in general was like, well, that was fucking cool. We had three teams jump a million places. It was fun as hell. It was dramatic as shit. So that was good. Other lottery, draft lottery fallout, we had a couple of ESPN fellas contradicting each other. Brian Windhorst telling the jump from what he understood, the Pelicans are not interested in making a deal with the Lakers. Zach Lowe then turned around and said the Lakers have better trade packages than the Knicks, and David Griffin doesn't hold grudges, so he's going to accept the best deal out there for Anthony Davis. Nice. There was also some dumb fucking rumors about Zion might just go back to Duke if he doesn't like going to New Orleans. Well, that was some bullshit. We're going to talk about that later. That's the dumbest shit you'll ever hear. The NBA also announced, well, it came out that the NBA is expected to announce that they're going to move up the start of their annual moratorium from midnight on July 1st for free agents to 6 p.m. on June 30. Hey, so we're going to pull it back 6 hours, you little ripper. To be honest, in Australia, it doesn't really matter that much because like a midnight start is basically what, late afternoon in Australia anyway. But 6 p.m., it's a little bit earlier, and look, it's fine. That's a great idea. I like this. The entire idea of, like, everyone going, oh, yeah, it doesn't, like, free agency doesn't start till midnight on July 1st, because that's the start of the new year. They went, you know what's fucking dumb? Making everyone stay up till midnight to then, like, do all the shit that we've already talked about. So let's just start at 6, and we'll go from there. Good stuff, NBA. And finally, a bit of wild news from the Draft Express workouts. Taco Fall. Whoa. Central Florida Taco Fall. His measurements are 7'5¼ without shoes. He's 7'7" with shoes. He's 289 pounds. He has an 8'2¼" wingspan, which means a standing reach of 10'2½". Are you fucking kidding me? Taco apparently just broke every figure in the Draft Express database dating back to the 80s for height, wingspan, and reach. 10'2". He can just stand there and put his hand above the rim. That's fucking nuts. All right. Good stuff. So there's a bit of news for you. There's not much else sort of going on after the draft lottery yesterday, which was full of drama and suspense and intrigue. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff about Magic and Bird getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm assuming for outstanding achievements in the field of excellence. And what else? The Grizz have kind of made known that they're going to take Ja Morant. And everyone's like, yep, no shit. It's a two-person draft. Zion's clearly number one. Ja Morant's probably number two. RJ Barrett's three. And then the rest is a shit show. So good stuff. Nice. All right. So let's wrap up today's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland. Bucks of Milwaukee. Nice one. So game one. We went into this like asking a couple of big questions, right? It's like, oh, you know, who's going to be able to cover Kawhi? And who's going to cover Giannis? And, you know, will Toronto throw their centers on Giannis, similar to what Boston tried to do here and there? And the key blokes that we came in to think about this was Kyle Lowry. Would he be boot booty Kyle Lowry or playoff I shit the bed Kyle Lowry? And today we got big booty Kyle Lowry rocking up, didn't we? Serge Ibaka was another key bloke as well for the Raps. He was horrible until basically the last couple of games of the series, and he shit the bed again in this game. And one of our key blokes we talked about yesterday was Brook Lopez and how he struggled against Boston last series horribly and came out and smashed it. Look, I'm not saying that we predicted the future, but we may have actually predicted the future. Of course, our other key bloke was George Hill, asking whether or not he could keep it up while Bledsoe sucked. Well, Bledsoe did suck today, and George Hill did as well, so... Tough one. Our predictions, matchups to look out for were Kawhi versus Middleton. That was a really good one. Middleton botted him up fairly nicely sometimes. Giannis would switch over on the odd occasion. And then Giannis against Gasol and, you know, Ibaka and Kawhi when they threw him in there. It was great fun. Lowry Bledsoe was a huge win for Lowry. And Siakam Middleton was kind of fun too. The second bananas. The battle of the second bananas. Siakam was not a very good banana today. Middleton, neither. So that was a bit of a wash. So game one itself, I mean, this was fun as hell, right? Toronto smashed it out of the gate. Milwaukee sort of jumped out quick. Giannis scored pretty much all their points, and they couldn't hit a three until Giannis got one late. Toronto, meanwhile, just couldn't miss from downtown. They started off 6 of 11 from three, while Milwaukee were 1 of 9. Absolutely crazy. They went 6 of 13 in the first quarter from downtown, did the Raps. Absolutely crushed it. And Milwaukee took 27 shots in the first quarter, 15 of which were threes, which is pretty crazy. So at least Toronto sort of went half and half, and Milwaukee did not. So ends up being 34-23 Toronto. They come out of the break. Norman Powell smashes a bunch of threes. Toronto's flipping the ball around quicker than you can see and everything without Kawhi out there even. And they're absolutely crushing it. Kyle Lowry gets going from three, hits a bunch of them early. He's got three of them. There's a bit of sloppy Milwaukee offense. Some shot clock violations. You're like, ah, shit. It's all over, mate. It's all over. Milwaukee, they're down 13. Whoa, what's happening? And then old Lurch Lopez just goes, ah, oh, it's all right. Playing in the bucket, hit a three here and there. Malcolm Brogdon hits three first half threes. They bring it back to within three out of nowhere. And you're like, all right, this is pretty good. Middleton misses a shot just before the end of the first half. Giannis gets whomped by Kawhi, which is pretty crazy. And Giannis finishes the first half with zero free throws, which is pretty crazy. It evened out in the second half. He ended up going to the line, you know, 12 times. So it all worked out in the end. But still, 59-51 Toronto at the half. Pretty crazy. Bledsoe had an absolute shocker, scoreless going out of that first half. Finally scored 2.5 minutes in the third quarter. Hit another one. The Raps go on a run. Siakam's missing shots. Gasol's missing shots. Kawhi is the only one doing bloody anything for the Raps in the third quarter. He absolutely crushes it. He has 14 points in the quarter. And you're like, this is great. He's doing really well. Siakam finally hits a buzzer-beating three. And, it would have gotten close. The Bucks were sort of fighting back in there. Their defense really clamped down on clamps, Leonard. But, you know, going into the fourth quarter, it's 83-76. Raptors up. Bucks had missed something like 70 million straight threes. And then Lurch Lopez hits back-to-back threes. It's a one-point game. Bledsoe sucks. Milwaukee go up one. Their first lead since 8-6 in the first quarter. And then Kyle Lowry. It's just, he can't miss. He hits another three. He's 5 or 6 at that point. Ah, He hits another one. And then another one. He's playing his best ever playoff game. He has a steal. He ties it up. He's playing unbelievable, Kyle Lowry. He's taking charges. He hits another three. He's hit 7 of 8 at this point. Ties it all back up. Kawhi Leonard hits free throws. Oh, wait a minute. And then nothing happens for the Raptors after this whatsoever. Absolutely nothing. Literally nothing. Kawhi Leonard hits free throws, puts the Raptors back up 2. And then that's it. There's a Middleton steal after Danny Green tried to go behind the back. Lopez dunks it. Then he hits a 3. Bucks back up 4. Brooks hit his career high. He has another block on Kawhi. Lowry misses finally. Lopez gets a huge rebound. He's got a double-double. And Toronto are scoreless for the last 3.5 minutes of the fourth quarter. The Bucks go on a 10-0 run to finish this off. And Toronto are done. It's all over. It's 108-100. Holy shit. Milwaukee forced Toronto into missing its final 8 shots. They shot 5 of 22 in the fourth quarter, did Toronto. They get outscored 32-17. Kawhi Leonard has 2 points in the fourth quarter, free throws, and no other Raptor apart from Kyle Lowry hits a field goal. For the entire fourth quarter, he goes unbelievably. He goes 5 of 7 by himself. The Raptors total, 5 of 22. Absolutely crazy. So there you go. Milwaukee put the clamps down in the fourth quarter, and the Raptors shit the bed. Milwaukee win at 108-100, walking away. The Raptors shoot 37% from the field, but they did go pretty well from 3. They went 15-42 total. They were out-rebounded 60-46. Kawhi ends up with 31 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals, but shoots 10 of 26 from the field, including 1 of 5 from downtown. Siakam had 15 points on 6 of 20 shooting. Jesus. So anytime that you're 1 and 2 bananas, that's why Kawhi and Siakam can shoot. What's that? 16 of 46. Yeesh.
You're not going to win too many games that way, mate.
So a bit of a tough one. But big booty Kyle Lowry has an absolutely unbelievable game. 30 points he ends up with. 8 rebounds, 2 assists. 7 of 9 from downtown. 10 of 15 overall. This is absolutely wild. Unfortunately, Danny Green, has 6.6 rebounds on 1 of 5 shooting, 1 of 4 from downtown. And Mark the Coach Killer Gasol, 6 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. Oh, James, that sounds pretty good. Nah, that's 2 of 11 shooting from Mark the Coach Killer Gasol. You could feel Nick Nurse getting the stabbing from Gasol in the back during this game. The bench for the Raps, so often a pretty, like, you know, nice little lean on here throughout the regular season, then in, you know, basically helped them win that series against the Sixers. Norm Powell came in and hit 2 threes in the second quarter, but that's all he did. 6 points total. He missed his third shot and went, fuck it, I'm out. Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vliet's had 2 points and 1 of 4 shooting, 0 of 2 from downtown. And Serge Ibaka had a rough one as well. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 of 6 from the floor, and minus 17 for the game. And every Sixer fan ever was screaming, why? Why? Why does Serge suck in this game and not in Game 7 against the Sixers? So a tough one for the Raps. The Bucks, they shoot just 39% from the floor and 25% from 3 and somehow come away with a win. A lot of that was the rebounding. They controlled the boards, as mentioned, 60-46 they out-rebound the Raps. Giannis has a pretty bloody good game. 24 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and 3 blocks. Amazing. But there were times where you're like, oh, he's not having a great one, is he? A couple of charges, a couple of, you know, non-foul calls that he missed out on. That kind of sucked for him, but he was still very, very fucking good. Chris O'Middleton had 11 and 11, but that came on 4 of 12 shooting and 1 of 6 from downtown. Bledsoe, as mentioned, sucked. 3 of 12 for Bledsoe, putting on a Bled show. 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists for him. But it was Nikola Mirotic. Hello, look at very thick beard. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 of 9 from downtown, 1 of 6 from 3, but damn, got some pretty big rebounds and a couple of big times did Nico, and kept drawing fouls at pretty inopportune times for the Raps. But obviously, the game breaker for the Bucks was old Lurch Lopez.
Brook Lopez, yeah, it's pretty good. I play 29 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks. 4 of 11 from downtown. He absolutely smashed it. We're going to talk about him at length in a second, but he was incredible Having watched him so often in Brooklyn, it was absolutely wild to see this performance. But the bench for the Bucks really helped out. El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon, he is back. He scored more than the entire Raps bench combined. 15 points, 3 rebounds and 3 assists for him. 5 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3. Very handy because Georgie Hill had a shocker, 0 of 6 for him, including 0 of 1 from downtown. He did have 4 steals, did Georgie Hill, so he wasn't too bad. Paddy Connaughton had 0 points, 0 of 2 from downtown, but he wasn't too bad either. A couple of nice passes, a lot of good rebounds as well. I think he ended up with something like 6 rebounds. Yeah, 6 rebounds and a block. And Aristotle Ilyasova, hello, 7 points, 3 rebounds for the big fella. And the Bucks withstand a 30-point Kyle Lowry explosion and Kawhi going off for 31 on pretty rough shooting. And win. Game one at home. A huge come-from-behind win in the fourth quarter. Absolutely smoke them. 32-17 in the fourth. Bucks win by 8. 108-100. They lead the series 1-0 now. And Toronto are now officially 3-15 in their game ones in their playoff history. Absolutely wild times. And I would have much rather have seen far more cutaways from TNT to Jurassic Park as their entire fan base was collectively shitting themselves. That's all I asked for. They're real fucking happy to switch there when the Raptors are smashing it. And there's a whole bunch of Canadians out there in the fucking cold going, oh, this is really good, eh, bro? Oh, I talk about Core Parks a lot, but this is a great show. I love these Raptors, man. And but no, when they're getting their asses kicked in the fourth quarter by the Bucks, Jurassic Park is nowhere to be seen. Come on, TNT, you fucking cowards. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia-approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Coming down the mountain! That's Splash Mountain. Holy shit, Brooke Lopez. Hey, did you like that? A bit of Jane's Addiction for you. Splash Mountain, Brooke Lopez, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks. They were absolutely huge. He had one massive block as well. There was an absolute like dagger block on Kawhi Leonard that basically sealed this game with about 2 minutes left. It was wild. But a career high from the big fella and a dagger three in there that he hit with just under 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Picked it up off his toes and bang! Hits the three from the S in the Fi serve on the actual court there in Milwaukee. Absolutely crazy. He shoots 12 of 21 from the field. Goes 4 of 11 from downtown. Has 11 rebounds. And of course, you wouldn't know it, but Muggins over here put just a little bit of the walking around stuff and a bit of a multi there that included Brooke Lopez having less than 6 rebounds in this game. So, Milwaukee fans, you're welcome. If there's anything that's going to spur Brooke Lopez into having an incredible performance is me putting money against him. This is my entire, you know, Brooklyn watching career, having spent, you know, 5 season ticket holder years watching Brooke Lopez spud up the fucking joint, ends up in Milwaukee, crushing it in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm pretty happy for him. That was great. That block on Leonard was incredible. Just really came up big in some big moments, which, look, to be honest, about Brooke Lopez, I never thought I'd ever get to say it. So, love him. He's awesome. He's a fun dude. Never thought he'd have the balls to rock up and chuck in 13 points in a fourth quarter of an Eastern Conference Finals game 1 to lead his team to a win, but he just did. On you, Brooke Lopez. That was huge, and that is the NBA Australia-approved performance of the night. What about old mate no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Kyle Lowry. That's right. As mentioned earlier, he was the only Raptor to make a field goal in the fourth quarter. His teammate shot 0 of 15 from the field. Absolutely crazy. So before today's game, Kyle Lowry had averaged 9.6 points in game ones in the playoffs. So he drops 30 in this one, and the Raptors still lose because the rest of his mates on that team shit the bed and leave him out there basically by himself in the fourth quarter. Kawhi Leonard goes off, destroys the Sixers game after game after game. Tonight has 2 points in that fourth quarter on free throws. And no bloody anybody can help out Kyle Lowry. Out there, basically a man alone. 0 of 15 his teammates go. Absolutely crazy. He goes 5 of 7. Kyle Lowry, you are definitely old mate, no mates. Because all your mates just fucked off. It's like you're standing at the pub. Kyle Lowry and he's like, all right, so whose round is it? And he turns around and everybody's gone. Classic. Who was Spud of the night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Mark Coach Killer Gasol. That's right. When he wasn't being called Pow by Reggie Miller or mistaken for Brook Lopez by Marv Albert, I'm now being told that's Mark Gasol, not Bryant Reeves. He was sucking. Yes. 2 of 11 from the floor for Mark Gasol. 6 points and a turnover. Absolute shocking. Just really bad defense. He was left open a couple of times and he's like, oh, I'm going to pass this. And you're like, you should probably shoot that and hit it, Mark Gasol. You're being paid $25 million a year to like hit some shots. So I don't know, mate. Maybe shoot it. Honorable mention goes to Georgie Hill. After being amazing against Boston, he very quickly turned back into the George Hill that we all know and love. 0 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3. But did, as mentioned, have 4 steals, so he's pretty good. Pantsing of the night. This is a pretty much just goes to the entire Raptors not named Kyle Lowry, but at the same time, it was also pantsed Kyle Lowry because with 23.3 seconds left, their last ditch hope, Kyle Lowry was feeling himself. Feeling himself enough to go finger roll the ball in against Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that ain't it, Chief. Kyle Lowry got blocked into oblivion by Giannis, and that was the game. That was it. That was all over. That was all she wrote. It was only 6 points as well at that point. Kyle Lowry goes in. Nah, blocked. Game over. Say goodnight. So that was a bit of a pantsing, but just the Raptors in general. A 17-point swing in game one, fourth quarter, is just absolutely brutal, isn't it? 32-17 in the fourth. You got pantsed hardcore. You're actually out there playing footy. It's like a big game. And you're standing in the goal square. The ball's about to come in, but the fullback for the other team dacks you in front of the school. You trip over and you're like, oh, fuck. And they run past you. The fullback runs it all the way back and kicks a goal and bang, it's all over. That's how bad of a pantsing that was for the Raps. Nice one. Finally, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody. Just like the, what is it? The IRS is probably coming for Big Baller Brand. So you better get your merch. Get your merch.
Steve-o.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Yeah, because Lonzo is sitting at home listening to his dad rant and rave about the $2 million that his best mate stole from Lonzo. Meanwhile, Pat Connaughton is out there being better than Lonzo Ball in the Eastern Conference Finals because Lonzo Ball, last time I checked, has not played in any conference finals. What, you think he's going to be average? Well, Pat Connaughton wasn't either. He went 0 of 2 in 11 minutes, but he had 6 rebounds and a block and was a plus 1 for the game. If my math is correct, Lonzo is 0 in any game in conference finals because he's never played in one. So, great job. Pat Connaughton, you are officially today better than Lonzo Ball. All right, Yenaz, right after, let's say this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. It's time for Yenaz. Should I go to the doctor and get my broken toe checked out? Yeah, nah. Nah. I mentioned that yesterday. Fuck it, hell, man. You should see it. It is brutal. My third toe. So I'm like, come on, man. There's nothing a doctor can do. They can't put plaster on it. It's a fucking toe. It's the middle toe. You can't do anything about that. You can maybe put a splint on it, but nah, it's just the end of it. Should be right. And there goes the NBA Australia saga of the broken toe. I love this. All right, anyway, let's just bloody do yeah nahs. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, are the Lakers young players better than the Knicks young players? Oh, interesting. Zach Lowe wrote about this today. For all their flaws, and perhaps too much has been made of those flaws considering the player's age, the Lakers have more combined trade value than Kevin Knox, Frankie Nicotine, and Dennis Smith Jr. and Mitch Robinson. Do I agree with this? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I think the Lakers' young players have a little bit more combined trade value, but this leads us to the next yeah, nah. Is the Knicks trade package, a potential Knicks trade package for Anthony Davis, including the number 3 pick, better than the Lakers trade package with all those young dudes. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I kind of think it is, isn't it? Because look, if you can get Mitch Robinson, Kevin Knox, and the number three out of the Knicks, as well as two more first rounders, I kind of feel like that might be a little bit better than the old, oh, here's number four. The draft drops off completely after you take RJ Barrett at three. Don't tell them that. Also, here's Lonzo Ball. He can't fucking shoot. Here's Brandon Ingram. He gets blood clots a lot, and we assume that he's healthy, but hey, who knows? Here's Josh Hart, who played fucking horribly in the entire second half of the season. And I don't know, Kyle Kuzma, who plays horrible defense and only gets buckets, and that's it. Yeah, I think I'd rather take the Knicks package where I can get number three and take RJ Barrett, pair him up with his best mate, and go from there with Kevo Knox. You might not even have to throw Dennis Smith Jr. in there, because, I mean, I've already got Drew Holiday. What the fuck do I need Dennis Smith Jr. for, really? Just give me Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, number three, and you can have Anthony Davis, and you can spend all that money to your heart's content, New York. Go get Kyrie. Go get KD. Have AD there as well. That's fine. You need to clear the decks, mate, so we'll take your flotsam. All right, next one. Should Zion not take on an agent and return to Duke? Yeah, no. Get the fuck out of here, man. This has got to be one of the most wildly disrespectful bullshit things I've seen floating around the last like 24 hours since the NBA draft lottery happened, where everyone's like, oh, I don't think Zion would like it in New Orleans. A, when the fuck has he said anything about this? Sure, it might be more preferable to go to LA or to New York, but he's never fucking come out and said, oh, I'm not going to play in New Orleans. So this comes out of fucking nowhere. It's like wildly disrespectful to the Pelicans, the NBA, and New Orleans. Like, just because Knicks fans are fucking butthurt about not getting the number one pick doesn't mean this kid is going to say no to $40 million, you idiot. It's like, fuck off. Yes, he'd be more visible in New York or LA, but come on, is Russell Westbrook any, like, not visible because he's in OKC? Fuck you and anyone who says dumb shit like this. Yeah, go back to college and hurt your fucking knee. And suddenly you're like the fucking fourth pick next year. Go back to college and watch New Orleans win the lottery again. You got to go there anyway. Oh, I'm going to stay in college for another year. Fuck you, you idiots. Or maybe Memphis win it next year. Cool. You're going to go hang out in Memphis. Maybe Charlotte. Fuck you. Best of luck then, my guy. Anyone who says dumb shit like Zion should not take on an agent and go back to school is a fucking moron. Get the fuck out of here. Fire them into the sun. Just saying. Final year now. Let's go back to the playoffs. Can the Raps or Blazers come back after those game one kind of crappings of the bed? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, I hold out enough hope, I think. I think we saw enough out of the Raps, especially today, that they can keep up and probably beat the Bucks at home once, twice, maybe three times. Who knows? This might go seven. They came out firing. They weren't afraid. They were pretty good. But at the same time, the Bucks shot like shit and still won. So I don't know, but I feel like the Raps are still within a still with a chance, obviously. And for the Blazers, look, they just need Dame and CJ to actually show up at the same game in Oakland and actually play basketball, as opposed to what they did yesterday, which was a complete fucking no-show. So, Blazers. I don't know, maybe this is the old rope-a-dope for the Blazers, though, you know? You shit the bed in game one, and then you're like, the Warriors get a, you know, start feeling themselves. They're like, hey, man, we don't even need Kevin Durant. Look at us. We've got Steph Curry. We've got Klay Thompson. You've got Seth Curry. And like, fucking Enes the Penis Kanter. Fuck you. And then the Blazers go, yeah, man, we're really afraid of you. And then fucking Dame and CJ drop 85 points on their heads. I mean, that's best case scenario. That wasn't nice. But anyway, I think they're both the losers from today and yesterday still got a bit of a chance. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Would you rather have number 14, pick number 14, and Jason Tatum, as well as like a future Memphis pick from Boston for Anthony Davis, or the Lakers pick and Brandon Ingram, and whatever else they want to throw in there? Look, everyone seems to love Jason Tatum, but I'd still rather number 4, Brandon Ingram, and whatever else I can get from the Lakers ahead of whatever Boston can throw at you. But at the same time, with the Knicks getting to number 3 and New Orleans having number 1, I'd also prefer the Knicks number 3 so I can take RJ Barrett, keep him and Zion tight and together, which would be awesome, so they can be best friends forever in your city
pack out the goddamn Smoothie King Arena night in, night out, absolutely crush it. And look, I feel like that's just kind of better. But as I said yesterday, I'd still rather not trade Anthony Davis at all and just roll out there and go, oh, fuck, we've got Jrue Holiday. We've got Etuan Moore. We've got Zion fucking Williamson and Anthony Davis. Are you kidding me? How good is Zion and AD next to each other? That would be absolutely amazing. So I'd be throwing all of my efforts into keeping AD. And if he expressly goes, nah, fuck yous, I think Zion's a dick, I'm out of here, trade me, I'd be like, all right, cool. New York, here we go. Cool. All right, Thursday. Let's go to Outback Takehouse. It's Thursday at Outback Takehouse. And you know what that means. It's bloody Bloomin' Onion Thursday. That's right. No prick back in Australia knows what the fuck these things are. So we're going to foist them onto you Yanks as a way of getting rid of a bunch of cheap ass onions and deep frying the shit out of them. Look, there's Dave-O now. He's just frying one up and chopping it into bits. And apparently that looks like a fucking flower. I don't know. But anyway, Bloomin' Onion Thursdays only at Outback Takehouse. And today's Flame Grill take is... The NBA rigged the lottery so that they could cover their ass when New Orleans have to trade Anthony Davis to either the Knicks or Lakers. But the NBA rigged it so the Knicks or Lakers got 3 and 4 so that everybody saves face when New Orleans gets something back for Anthony Davis. Only at Outback. Whoa. Seems about right, isn't it? Like the NBA going, look, we're not going to give the Knicks or the Lakers number one. We'll give that to you, New Orleans, so you... have Zion Williamson replace Anthony Davis. And look, we're not going to force you to trade Anthony Davis to the Knicks or the Lakers and get fuck all back in return. So we'll give them 3 and 4. How's that sound? And the Pelicans are like, oh, yeah, all right. Thanks. Thanks, NBA guys. Appreciate it. Nice one. That was a good Outback Takeout. I like that. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch and great moments in NBA Australia stat history right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. We have Big Andy Bogut in action for Game 2 against the Blazers tomorrow. With no Kevin Durant, he'll probably get a start again, which would be pretty bloody good. So let's get him, Bogey. And also Big Simo Ben Simmons announcing yesterday that he's pretty keen on playing for the World Cup. Had everybody sort of losing their minds about how great the Aussies out there could be and what we could actually look like in terms of a national team. And some people threw some, you know, interesting ideas around. So what do you reckon? Do you want Bangers starting? Or do you want Bogey starting? I mean, I kind of want Bangers out there kicking ass. And then I want Bogey to come in and mop up and do all right. And have you got Jingling Joe Ingles starting at small forward? Yeah. You got Big Simo starting at point guard. Do you have Patty Thrills or Dally starting at shooting guard? And do you have Big Thon McCurr starting a power forward or Jonah Bolden? How good is it? Who knows? But either way, we're going to have a pretty awesome top 12 that you could sort of roll out there for the World Cup. And especially against the Americans in the run-up to the World Cup. It should be pretty bloody good, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm a bit excited. So just think about this. 12 dudes, you got Bangers, you got Bolden, you got Jingling Joe Ingles, you've got Big Simo Ben Simmons. You got Patty Thrills or Rowdy Brockoff. Either way, you got Rowdy, you've got Dally, you've got Bogut, you've got Thon, Mitchie Creek, Brock Modem, Denga, Dell, Isaac Humphreys. Look, there's just a lot going on. I'm pretty excited about this. So there you go. There's a bit of the Australian Player Watch. And look, I'd throw Josh Green in the mix just to blood the little kid as well. And also, you got all our NBL dudes. It's awesome. There's a lot going on. All right, speaking of which, and speaking of Patty Thrills, let's get to a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, because that's what we do on Thursdays.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
That's right. It's a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. And as we hit the start of the conference finals, why not go back 5 years ago when dead set Aussie ledge Patty Thrills, Patty Mills closed out his old team in the conference semis to send his San Antonio Spurs to the conference finals over the Portland Trailblazers. That's right. It was a hair-raising rocket ride if ever there was one. And one befitting an Aussie legend that's about the stature of Ian Thorpe, Alicia Molik, and Mark Tubby Taylor combined. Patty Thrills. Suiting up and throwing the three-ball glasses for the 2014 San Antonio Spurs was Patty Thrills. They're going five games in the second round against the Portland Trail Blazers. And Patty Thrills went out there and went, not today, friends. I am your worst nightmare. Because Patty Thrills played 25 minutes, 39 seconds that were more thrilling than the opening chase of Mad Max Fury Road. And the first time I went on the Lethal Weapon ride up at Movie World on the Goldie back in 97. And with the weight of a city on his shoulders and the Spurs wanting to finish the series quickly in order to go and kick LeBron James's ass, the Torres Strait Terror came in and lit up the Blazers for a jaw-dropping 18 points that would be later described as transcendent and better than the time I saw Daryl Braithwaite in Elwood that one time. That's right, Patty Cakes went an amazing 8 of 17 from the field, 2 of 5 from downtown, chucking in also 3 rebounds and 2 assists for the same reason you go to a Toorak Taylor, just for good measure. He also chucked in a block in there that made Wes Matthews cry real tears and had 3 steals so severe that there was briefly a warrant issued for his arrest in Oregon. But, you know, you get that on the big jobs. And to show you just how immense Patty's career has been since then, the bowler has hit about 1,000 more triples in that range that puts him ahead of a whole bunch of names like Jalen Rose and Karen Butler. All time in the 3-point makes, which is pretty bloody good. And remember, only 2 rounds after this game where he drops 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals, he was busy leading the Spurs to another Larry O'Brien trophy. And he will forever be known as a dead set ledge who's also an NBA champ. That's right, Patty Thrills. After smashing his old team, Baller Pat, Patty Cakes, Patty Thrills, the Torres Strait Terror, playoff Patty, Patty Patty with the good hair. Smoked it, won the title, absolutely crushed it, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, beating out his old team, the Portland Trail Blazers. That is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history if ever there was one. One of his greatest ever playoff games. Patty Thrills, you dead set legend. Nice one. All right, speaking of Patty Mills, let's go to the Patty Mills Game Day Bull, Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? Patty, what are you tweeting out, mate? What are you tweeting out? At a guess, I'm going to say not much. Oh, no. Yes, no. No. Joe Ingles, though, we're going to switch over to him very quickly because he's nothing if not inspiring. Great stuff. And Jacob Holmes tweeted out, on a huge day for the game, it was great to discuss Australian basketball, our elite influential players, and what we do at the Australian Basketball PA with Olgan Ulick at Fox Sports AUS. Joe Ingles retweeted that with prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands, and then also retweeted that amazing, amazing video of the little karate kid finally snapping that board, saying this video is everything. Life lesson, tears, disappointment, and failure can turn into joy, self-confidence, and success with the right people around you. Jinglin' Joe Ingles retweeted that video saying, this is awesome, prayer hands emoji, and it is. Watching that kid finally snap that board is absolutely inspiring. So great job, Jinglin' Joe Ingles, for being an inspiring gentleman of leisure while you're hanging out in Melbourne, watching the missus play netball and whatnot. So that's good stuff. Awesome. All right. That's the game day Twitter check-in inspiration board. Let's do some
game preview
for tomorrow. Portland at Golden State, game 2. It's 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Time. Right, let's have a look at the odds. Golden State are favored by 8 points, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because they did absolutely shit pump the Blazers by 22 in game 1. 8 points, though, seems a little, just a couple too high for my liking. I'm going to take the Blazers plus 8. I feel like the Blazers have got a good chance to come out and absolutely smash the Warriors in this one if Dame and CJ can both get going in the same game. As I mentioned earlier, they might have lulled the Warriors into a bit of a, you know, false sense of security. I still feel like the Warriors might win this, but I feel like the Blazers make this a very, very tight one tomorrow. So give me the Blazers plus 8. I feel like Dame and CJ do not crap the bet in this. Actually come out firing. Steph, can he keep up that torrid shooting streak like he has? He scored 69 points over his last 3 halves of NBA playoff basketball, which is bananas. But really, do you think that Dame is just going to keep sucking? Do you think that CJ is also going to be sucking in this game? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say the Blazers cover. Give me the Blazers plus 8. The Warriors still might win this, but I bet that the Blazers will cover for tomorrow. Nice. That's awesome. Holy shit. That's it for today. Unbloody real. We're back tomorrow with all the usual ridiculousness. and wrap up that Portland Golden State game. We'll do a big weekend preview for you. It'll be awesome. But in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're all over the socials during the games. You know that. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android app you use to listen to NBA Australia. Just rate, review it. It helps out heaps. Tell a mate as well, would you? Go, oi, how good are the NBA playoffs, you dickhead? Are you following along with NBA Australia? Go on. Don't be a coward. That's right. Also, get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go do some shopping on Amazon, first go to NBAAustralia.com, smash the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side, then go do all your shopping. And when you buy some shit through that big link, they kick us a shekel or two on the back end. It really helps out. Come on, man. We do this day in, day out. Help us out, would ya? All you can do is click one extra button. Anyway, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's awesome. I've got the t-shirt. I've got the vinyl. They're fucking great. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey and buy their shit. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it, man. We're going to finish out with a brand new episode of The Diary of Stephen Adams, as the Kiwi Colossus is still on holidays, but he's learned how to go fishing, apparently, so should be pretty bloody good. All right, man, stick around for Diary of Stephen Adams, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Enjoy Blazers Warriors. We'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen!
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. It's me, Stephen Adams, Eve. Still on holiday, Brew. I'm still here in Acapulco, and I'm still a bit drunk, eh, Brew? But it's all right. I'm still going to write in my diary for you, Brew. So here we go. Oh, dear diary, Brew. It's me, Stephen Adams, eh? And I got to say, Brew, I love being on holiday, eh? It's been a fun time here in Acapulco, Brew. All I've been doing is drinking brews, Brew. Thanks to my man, who's they over there? Hey, Jose. How's it going, Brew? Thanks for all the brews. You're a legend. On your Jose. Thanks, Brew. But I've also been up to a bit of other stuff this week, Brew. A bit of time to go fishing, eh? Just off the coast there. Yeah, it was sweet as. And it turns out, Brew, I'm pretty big, but I'm also awesome at fishing, Brew. I caught myself a big fish. It was a marlin, I think, Brew. Pretty bloody good, Brew. It was about the size of my cousin Rongo. And pretty bloody big and pretty bloody fat, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding, Rongo. You're fine, Brew. Oh, I need another Corona, eh? Oh, this is sweet. Anyway, so it took me all bloody day to drag that bugger in, Brew. And it was shit-faced by the time I landed him, eh? But I did. And I didn't even have to go like Aquaman and shit and jump in there or fight him or anything, Brew. So that was great as. And it was also bloody delicious, Brew. I mean, we just cooked it right there on the beach, Brew. Kind of like a giant fish hungy, Brew. Which is sweet as, but, you know, without burying him or anything. So, the only thing that was missing was some chips, eh? Because I love some fish and chips. Anyway, that's right, Brew. So, I'm pretty full now. It's like, all we did was sit out there on the beach and drink some tequila, Brew. And it was a real treat because it was taught to me by my new friends called Consuela and Jefe, Brew. They taught me that the fish, you rip it up, Brew, in some foil and just chuck it on the coals there on the beach. You don't even scale it or nothing, Brew. And it's absolutely delicious. And it goes great with some tequila, Brew. So, hey, cheers. Oh, tequila, man. This is great. So, I'm onto a new sarsaparilla. I've got some tequila. I've got Jose over there. I've got Consuela and Jefe. This is great as. And the best part is, I've been looking at my phone a little bit today. And it turns out I've got some messages from my friends, Little Russ and Paul, back in UKC. And they want to know when am I going to come visit them after their surgeries, Brew. And I'm like, oh, Bruce, I'm on holiday, eh? I'm not going to message them back for about a month or so, eh? That'll be pretty funny. I might even go to NZ and then go home to UKC and then visit them, eh? So, it'll be after I've had a long holiday, Bruce. But don't tell them that. Oh, don't want to get in trouble. Okay, that's it for this week, Bruce. I'll write to you again next week after some cooking lessons here in Acapulco and some more Bruce Brew. Okay, cheer, cheer. Love, Stephen Adams Brew.